celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing poppies. This is Tall Poppy Talk with Grace Lewis.
Okay, this feels a lot harder. All right, kia ora and welcome to Tall Poppy Talk. Today it is just me. Not just me, but it is Grace. And I wanted to celebrate the fact that there have been 101 episodes of Tall Poppy Talk. I just interviewed my 100th guest, which will be coming out next week. And in all honesty, I tend to take a lot of comfort and security in hiding behind the fact that I'm interviewing someone else. I love that. That's why I do the podcast. But I thought after 101 episodes, perhaps it is time that I just do a solo one to touch base and say thank you, first of all, because if you are listening, good grief, I cannot even express how much I appreciate your listenership, the people who message in, the people who follow the page or give me suggestions and message me. And it truly is what fuels and motivates me, because if you're new to Tall Poppy Talk, welcome, kia ora. I'm Grace and I started this almost 2 years ago because I wanted to have conversations with people who I know and feel are tall poppies and want to celebrate their success, want to ask questions, I want to learn from legends and grow more poppies. So I hope when you look through the past 101 episodes that you see a catalog, like a library of a tall poppy in every and any field that may interest you, and you can listen and find some tips, some tangible pieces of like advice, or just acknowledge like it's the mahi and keep going. And actually my 100th guest that I interviewed 2 nights ago, Fraser Grew, he is doing the 10,000 dreams mission, right? And if you don't know what that is, please go check him out. He is interviewing 10,000 people. It's going to take him his lifetime. He's absolutely fueling him. And when we were interviewing, a big thing he said was like, just don't stop. He's been going at it for 8 years. And he said a year ago is when things started to really like get not easier, but momentum was gaining, right? And I cannot understate the value of patience and time and continuing to go. So it was after that episode of the interview with him that I felt even more motivated and compelled to do a solo episode, because my goal is that you as a listener can tune in and find something from someone that resonates with you. And I fully acknowledge that not everything will. And sometimes if you listen to an episode or you don't want to listen to an episode because it's not for you, that's totally fine. If you are a weekly listener, shout out to my mum, then thank you. And yeah, anyway, I'm rambling because I have no one to ask a question to. So the purpose of today's episode, 10 lessons from 101 episodes that are worth free sharing, I guess. And I want to emphasize, like, every single episode and every single guest has had multiple lessons. And I know that listeners, please share in, email me, DM me, comment, whatever, ones that have really resonated with you. But the reason I chose these 10 is I feel like they cover a range of topics, because there are a lot of topics that kind of get repeated. I think that's natural. There's patterns with high performers, right? It's kind of consistent themes and personality traits. And that's why sometimes there's lessons that I see repeated. But these 10, I think, cover a range and personally help shape me in the podcast quite a bit. So lesson number one is from Lockie Good. He is a professional freestyle snowboard coach. He's traveling the world. He's coached at the Winter Olympic Games. And the reason he's lesson number one is this was the most recent sort of catalyst for me, where he said, Grace, like, invest in yourself, put skin in the game, make it so that you have no choice but to succeed. And so Lockie, you are lesson number one, because I would not even be doing this solo podcast episode if it hadn't been your support saying, hey, like, up your production quality. Back yourself, invest in yourself, put yourself more in front of the mic, show people your personality, because you're doing good work, but you're not going full throttle. And it is kind of a little bit of hypocrisy, right? Where I'm doing Tall Poppy Talk, it's all about celebrating people, telling people to go for it, put yourself out there. But naturally, I still had that hesitation of putting myself out there, of being front and center and feeling boldly about it, and kind of being on the precipice of hesitating. So lesson number one, Lockie, invest in yourself. Lesson number two is from Cyril Riley. He is a music artist, producer, DJ, there's so many different words. I think artist is the most encompassing for Cyril. He's from Australia, and this past year has seen him truly excel. His hit song Stumbling In has been number one all over streaming platforms. He's just this past weekend played in New York City. He's been all over Europe. He's been Australia, New Zealand. But the reason he's lesson number two, and what he said to me in his podcast interview was, I was already an artist, Grace. So he said, yeah, before it became the full-time job, before he was getting representation and recognition and these major song releases and all that incredible stuff, he said, I was already an artist because I was making music, I was playing music, and people were listening to it. And so for me as a podcaster, a storyteller, I'm telling stories. I am podcasting. If people listen or if they don't, it should not be external validation that defines if you are doing the thing, if you are that person. When Cyril just said it plain in fact, I was already an artist because I was making music and people were listening. Now, just fortunately, it's a full-time gig and it helps no doubt pay the bills, and he doesn't have to be as concerned about balancing things. He can go fully for it. The reason it's lesson number two and so relevant for me is you are already a podcaster because you have a podcast, and hopefully people are listening, so thank you again. But for those who are listening to this episode today, just take that. If you want to be a writer, or if you want to be a dancer, or if you want to be an athlete, if you are doing the thing, then you already are that. And that sense of external validation or external permission to say, yeah, you are that. No, it's an internal job, right? If you're doing the thing, you already are that. So lesson number two from Cyril Riley is, you're already an artist. Lesson number three is from Alicia Foon. She is an incredible award-winning international journalist and a really great new friend. I'd love to say that. And her lesson is that humility is recognizing your ambitions. Okay, so she says that humility is this beautiful thing, but it's also recognizing and giving yourself permission to acknowledge that you do have ambitions. It's being self-aware and it's being confident in that. So after this conversation with Alicia, I'm like, yeah, damn, you're right. Humility doesn't have to mean that you shy away from your ambitions or your success or don't want to chase them. I think she beautifully role models that humility is recognizing that you have those ambitions, being self-aware about it, and then being confident enough to go for it. And so, again, I'm feeling and thinking that that's a valuable lesson for anyone to take away, is success doesn't mean you're no longer humble. Wanting more than what you have does not mean you're no longer humble and have humility of the things you have achieved or that others have achieved, etc. I think to have humility is to recognize your own ambitions, and we grant others the permission to do the same when we also decide that that's okay, right? So here I am granting myself permission and accepting that, yeah, I actually do love what I'm doing with the podcast and I love having these connections with other people, but I do have ambitions to give my own opinion more and give my own personality and share some of my own stories and insights. So that's why I'm doing this solo episode today, is I am ambitious to kind of expand what I'm doing with the podcast a little bit. I'm self-aware and I'm confident in doing that process. And a lesson which will come later is you can be confident and also nervous. So humility is recognizing your own ambitions. That's Alicia Foon's third lesson for today, and one that I think is really important to kind of remind ourselves when we do look at people who are potentially, we think, a little bit quote unquote up themselves or tooting their own horns. Yep. Arrogance is a fine line to walk sometimes, but let's not confuse ambitious with arrogance, right? And the role of humility can also be alongside and in parallel with someone who's been wildly ambitious as well. So it's all these things I just like to bring up, because whether you agree or you don't agree, it's a point of topic, right? It's a point of conversation. So have a think about the roles that humility and ambition play with one another. And that's why I think it's just such a perfect third lesson of the day. Moving on to lesson number four. This comes from Turanga Morgan Edmonds. He was one of my very first podcast interviews, and it's been almost 2 years, because he was literally I think number four or five. And aside to what he taught me and what the lesson from him is going to be today, what Turanga did he opened up my eyes to how I could actually navigate this whole podcast thing, because I sent him a cold email, right? Through the depths of the internet, I found his email, a skill that I've definitely excelled in over the past 2 years is finding contact information. But I cold emailed him, and though he does have a representation that normally deals with things, he saw my email, he resonated with the message and what I was trying to do. And that was what he first taught me, is if you have integrity and intention and like transparency in what it is that you're trying to do, people do want to give you the time of day, right? Like Turanga is a bassist in Alien Weaponry, which is a Te Reo Māori metal band that plays all over the world, North America, Europe, New Zealand. They are incredible. And he's also a cultural content creator. So his time is, pretty chock-a-block, but he carved some out for me because he valued what it was that I wanted to do, and he wanted to be a part of it. So a second sub lesson of what I'm going to share is that Turanga taught me that people do want to participate in your dream, right? People do want to help you out. And if you don't ask, the answer is always no. That is the hugest thing. And I want to make it clear, I get a lot of no's. I like to look at them as not nows, but I do get a lot of no's. But Turanga was someone who said yes very early on, and that meant a lot to me. And Turanga's lesson has a lot to do with what it is, his cultural content creation is, and what Alien Weaponry does is inspiring people to connect to Te Reo Māori language and culture. And he says, if I can inspire just one person, then that's what it's all about. He says, if I can inspire one person to connect to their culture, to be curious, then that's what it's all about. And so how I relate that back to the podcast, right, is always if I can inspire one person to pursue something, or to be more inquisitive, or to be curious, or to be excited for someone else and want to celebrate that success, if I make one person have that internal change, then that's what it's all about. And again, when I get messages from people who do say they really loved an episode, or they thought about this differently, that's awesome. I have these conversations with my family too, with my friends, and it's like every one message or one conversation or one download of the podcast or one view is so important on its own, but it does compound and it does stack onto one another. And that's what kind of makes cultural changes, right? Or like social changes. So Turanga's lesson there is to remind yourself why you do it. If you can inspire one person, that's pretty special, and I don't think that should be understated. It's easy to get lost in the metrics and look at the bigger things and think, oh, you know, this was better last week, or I'm ebbing and flowing, or are people caring? So you got to take yourself back to that very first motivator and reason of why you want to do it. So lesson number 5 comes from Jonah Oliver. Unsurprisingly, a world-class performance psychologist had some wisdom that resonated. Wow, shocker. And so Jonah's lesson is all about building capacity. Essentially, I'm going to use the metaphor he used because it was eloquently brilliant. But if you are about to start a 2K rowing race or any kind of like athletic thing, right, you anticipate lactic acid. And he said, Grace, at the start line, are you scared of lactic acid? I'm like, well, no. He's like, are you anticipating it? I'm like, yep. When it turns up, are you afraid of it? I'm like, no. He's like, in fact, it's a checkpoint of success, right? Or it's a checkpoint of the process. It means you're actually doing something right. I was like, yep. So he says, okay, so why aren't you scared of lactic acid? Or why don't you let lactic acid stop you from doing what it is that you need to do? I'm like, I don't know, because it's just part of the process. Boom, I walked right into it. That's how he feels we should approach performance anxiety, right? Is you are aware that it's going to come. In fact, it's actually an indicator that you're probably doing something right. And rather than try to minimize it or negate it or get rid of it, or pretend it's not there, it's about building capacity around it. So something that used to be 25% or 100% sometimes of the forefront of your brain, it's still there, but you've built capacity so that maybe now it sits more at like 15 or 10%, and you acknowledge like, yep, you're there. Hey, what's up? I still have things I need to do. So today with this podcast episode, I am nervous. I have some performance anxiety. This is like my 10th take. I've also had a blood nose and a mini coughing fit. So during this, it's like I'm nervous. I have anxiety performance-wise because it's for so many reasons. I do before any podcast interview, but especially when it's one by myself. And so I acknowledge, like, yeah, those feelings are there, but I still have something I want to do. And I know that I've trained. I know that I have soft and hard skills that I have been refining and training over these past 2 years with the podcast, but all my life when it comes to public speaking and formulating like a story, right? So yes, I'm nervous, but I stick to my training and I know what I need to do and I get on with it. So lesson number 5 comes from Joan Oliver. It is build capacity. Let's not try to minimize our fears or our worries or our anxiety, but let's build capacity around it so that we can get on with the job and focus on what we need to focus on and trust our training. Moving on to lesson number 6 comes from friend of the show, which is a phrase he knows all too well, Brad Olson. He is the Brad is chief economist, principal economist at Infometrics, which is one of New Zealand's leading economic commentators. I am also very fortunate to say that he has become a friend of mine and he's even visited Jersey. Brad is someone who has always excelled way above his age range, way above his experience levels. Everything that he's supposed to be defined by, he just excels and goes through, right? Because of this mentality in lesson number 6, which is, give me the bigger boots. He said, essentially, if someone says, you know, and they have many times to him, or if he's been doubted for his age or his experience, quote unquote, which I think is very subjective, but he says, if I'm acting too big for my boots, give me the bigger boots. I'm ready for it. Let's go. And this relates to another saying a coach of mine said that I absolutely love, which is, champions act like champions long before they are champions, right? You don't suddenly become an Olympic medalist and then behave like one. No, it was those qualities and those training habits and all those things that stacked onto each other that eventually the title matched the way you were behaving. So if you are acting or being too big for your boots, give me the bigger boots. I'm ready for them. And I just love that. That whole episode with Brad is a mix of funny and motivating and insightful. And I just absolutely love that, the way he approaches everything. So lesson number 6, give me the bigger boots. Moving on, lesson number 7 comes from Kim Crossman. Kim Crossman is an actress, producer, writer, absolute class act. I am a huge fangirl and I just admire everything she does. And her lesson is the phrase, which she didn't necessarily coin, but we discussed it in depth in the podcast, was, whatever's meant for me won't pass me by. And I loved not necessarily the phrase, but the way she interacted with it, because hindsight is 2020 and it's so easy to look back and say, oh my gosh, yes, like I wasn't supposed to get that role, or I wasn't supposed to make that lineup, or I wasn't going to get that job because A, B, and C happened, right? And of course, but when you're in the moment, that's a really hard thing to do. And that's exactly what Kim said. And so she does refer back to thinking of that phrase of, whatever's meant for me won't pass me by. And so the lesson that I relate more to is acknowledging that in the moment, it doesn't always feel like that. And being honest and open with yourself that it's okay not to necessarily be optimistic and positive and think like, oh, well, no, it's fine. It wasn't meant for me. It's okay to be like, well, maybe it was, and to have those emotions and be honest with yourself, but then move on and later you can maybe look back and go, oh yeah. And again, I keep bringing in kind of outside sources, but the reason these lessons resonate is because it does hit something that clearly I've thought about a lot. And there's another phrase, which is, I will pray for the bus and I'll run for the bus. And if I don't get the bus wasn't meant for me. The key thing there, and the same with whatever's meant for me won't pass me by, is you have to try, right? If you're sprinting for a bus and you're also praying, manifesting whatever word or belief you want to align with there, if you're doing both those things and you still don't make it, okay, then it's not meant for you. The next one, you'll get the next bus. Or maybe you'll get the bus in a couple times, right? But the key there is you have to really go for it. And then if you still don't get it, okay, then maybe it wasn't for you. But you have to give it a darn good try. You can't just say, oh, that one wasn't meant for me. You have to be honest and have that integrity of like, well, did you give it everything? Did you manifest / pray for it? Did you run for it? Did you hope for it? And it still wasn't for you? Okay, then it wasn't for you, right? But it's that kind of internal conversation of, did I give it everything? So thank you, Kim, because I still think about that one all the time. So lesson number 7, Kim Crossman, whatever's meant for me won't pass me by. Lesson number 8 is from Dan Williamson. He is a 2-time Olympic rower. He's a gold medalist back in the 2020 Olympic 8, men's 8, New Zealand. And then he just competed in the men's pair at the Paris Games, like literally a couple months ago. And now he's back at Yale in the capacity as an assistant coach. So really just making strides in the rowing world and outside of it. And unsurprisingly, the reason he is on this list at number 8 is, and I'm going to refer to my notes to make sure I don't get it wrong, but again, this is a phrase that I hadn't heard and he introduced to me, so you may have heard it already, but a dream written down with a date becomes a goal broken down into steps becomes a plan backed by action makes your dreams reality. So suddenly this big lofty goal of going to the Olympics multiple times becomes a reality. And so when an Olympic gold medalist tells you this, it hits. And so what Dan said there, right, is suddenly you take this goal of going to the Olympics and you write it down, right? LA 2028. Okay, that's a goal suddenly. It goes from a dream to a goal. And let me put some steps behind it. Okay, well, I'll need to make the New Zealand team by quote unquote 2027, 2026. Okay, well, to do that, I need to get my 2K to this time. Suddenly you break down that goal into like steps, then it becomes a plan, and then it goes from, okay, well, what do I need to do in 4 years' time? No, it's not that. It's what I need to do tomorrow. What's training in the morning? You take things and you break it down into small actionable steps. And then when you back those actions with like relentless conviction, suddenly this is becoming a reality. And so thank you, Dan, because when I think about the podcast and certain goals I want to achieve in my life and in the podcast and things that I dream about or guests that I dream about having, it's like, okay, well, let's write that down. Okay, well, how do we get there? And suddenly you've turned this lofty goal into something that just is kind of a series of actionable steps done with conviction. So I absolutely love that. And I'm excited to know what Dan's next dream is, because he's a 2-time Olympic rower and gold medalist. So clearly he knows how to turn those dreams into reality, and absolutely brilliant one that I hope others continue. Lesson number 9 comes from Grace Brendacast, who is also an Olympic rower, gold medalist, silver medalist, multi-Olympic champion machine. And her lesson is, what else am I good at? Right after the Tokyo Olympics, she put down the oar, so to speak, and turned her attention to her next chapter, her next adventure. And she is crushing it, absolutely crushing it in what she's doing now. But that's the whole point, is what else am I good at? She is literally a world regarded, recognized goat of rowing. And instead of just staying comfortably in that lane, she thought, well, what else am I good at? And I just think that that is such a beautiful example of confidence and role modeling of confidence, right? Is knowing I'm really good at this one thing, but I back myself and I'm confident that I could probably be pretty darn good in a lot of other things, but I don't know because I haven't tried. Because she was so incredible at rowing that she stuck in that lane. And sorry, because there's lanes in rowing, there's a bit of a pun. But Grace Brendacast, lesson number 4 is, what else am I good at? And if you have that inkling, you have that desire, you have that little thing inside of you, when we tie it back to Tall Poppy, it's go for it. Put yourself out there. See what else you can be good at. Because just because you are great at something doesn't mean you can't also be great, if not better, at something else. Lesson number 9, Grace Brendacast, what else can I be good at? And our final lesson from today comes from Molly Leishman. She also is just an incredible woman, Kiwi, dominant force who is absolutely paving her way, carving entire new like career pathways as a, she's right now a producer at Human Person. They're a creative lab based in LA and they do like live performances. So SZA's Grammy performance this year, Molly was there. She was producing that. They do like literally insane big celebrity artist productions, and that's absolutely marvelous work. And what Molly's lesson today was, knowing I deserve to be in the room. And this ties so perfectly and eloquently with Tall Poppy syndrome and imposter syndrome, is doubting if you should be there, right? And so she just says that she deserves to be in the room. And I want to give that some breathing space for a moment, because regardless of what room it is in, if it's a, if it's even a real room or if it's just like a figurative room, part of overcoming, and I say that with a bit of hesitation because I don't think we ever fully overcome imposter syndrome, because as you continue to strive and achieve new things, you're going to like you know, escalate those rooms that you're in and experience imposter syndrome, but it's acknowledging it and then going, no, I deserve to be in this room because I have done the work. I've done the mahi. I trust myself, tying it back to Jonah Oliver, trust yourself, trust your training, trust the work that you've put in and go, no, I do deserve to be here, and then build that capacity. Yep, I feel self-doubt. Yep, I feel nerves. I've got to do what I need to do anyway, and I deserve to be here. So that's a beautiful, fitting final lesson of this 101 episode recap. Knowing I deserve to be in the room, knowing I deserve to do this solo podcast and let people hear my voice and hear my opinions because I have put in the work, and I have had now over 100 guests that I've had these beautiful conversations with, and I've learned a couple things that I think are worth resharing, and wondering if people even care isn't worth my time, because if you didn't care, you would stop listening. And if you're still listening, I just want to thank you so, so much. And I'm going to run through these 10 lessons again. Starting from the top, we have Lockie Good, invest in yourself. Number 2 was Cyril Riley, I was already an artist. Number 3, Alicia Foon, humility is recognizing your ambitions. Number 4, Turanga Morgan Edmonds, if I can inspire one person. Number 5, Jonah Oliver, build capacity. Number 6, Brad Olson, give me the bigger boots. 7, Kim Crossman, whatever's meant for me won't pass me by. 8, Dan Williamson, make your dreams a reality. Number 9, Grace Prendergast, what else can I be good at? And number 10, Molly Leishman, knowing that I deserve to be in the room. People, thank you so much. If you're still with me at the end of this solo episode, I just want to say thank you. It's been quite a journey, and I really hope that I put this out. This is literally my 13th take. I've had a blood nose. I've had a few coughing fits. I spilled my tea. Not figurative, like I literally spilled tea on myself. But all this to say, this is a huge learning moment for me, and I just cannot thank you enough for being listeners. It's kind of hard to close this out when I could just continue rambling. So all that to say, I would love if you could message me and let me know lessons that have really resonated with you. Here's to the next 101 episodes, and the episode coming out next week with Fraser Grew, I think, is a really special one to talk about dreams and other people's dreams and your dreams and encouraging people. I think it aligns just beautifully with what this episode was about and what Tall Poppy Talk is about, which is celebrating success, learning from legends, and growing more poppies. Thank you for listening, and I will be in your ear holes next week.
Thank you so much for listening to Tall Poppy Talk. We'll see you next time. Feel free to check us out on socials, YouTube, and the website. Thanks for today's guest, and we'll see you all next time. Take care. Be kind.